Hey everyone, ready for a deep dive into something super interesting? We're going to be talking about Gen Z and their rise in Christian leadership. I have a feeling this deep dive is coming at a perfect time for you. Maybe you are getting ready for some big meeting at church, or maybe you are just curious about this generation. Whatever it is, we're going to go beyond just the surface today.
Okay.
We are diving into an article from Christian Culture News called The Rise of Gen Z in Christian Leadership, from January 29th of this year. Our goal, to figure out what makes Gen Z leaders tick and where there might be some clashes and what all this means for the future of the church.
You hit the nail on the head. It's not just about young people taking charge. It's about understanding this generation that has been shaped by forces unlike any generation before.
Right.
Think about it. They've never lived in a world without the internet. Without smartphones, that's going to have a huge impact on how they think about leadership.
Absolutely. So Gen Z, we're talking about people born roughly between the mid-90s and the early 2010s. But it's more than just birth years, right? This is the first generation to grow up completely immersed in the digital world.
Totally. And that digital world has instilled a set of values. While some of them match up with Christian ideals, could also create some really interesting friction within the church.
Ooh, okay. That's what I'm really curious about. The article talks about how much Gen Z emphasizes inclusivity. And we're talking racial, gender, sexual orientation, diversity. All of this aligns with what Christianity teaches about loving your neighbor and welcoming everybody. But how's that actually playing out in churches? In churches where tradition, and let's be honest, sometimes exclusion, have been the norm forever.
That's the million-dollar question. And the article gives a really powerful example. This Gen Z-led racial reconciliation ministry started up in a mostly white church.
Wow.
Imagine the possibilities. But also the potential pushback. This isn't just some abstract ideal. It's Gen Z saying, we're going to hold the church accountable to its own teachings.
Yeah.
Even if it gets uncomfortable.
Yeah. Which leads to another major Gen Z value, social justice. It's not just about believing and doing good. This generation is all about action. Climate change, economic inequality, you name it. Yeah. Gen Z is on the front lines.
And it creates such a fascinating tension. Historically, the church has taken a slower approach to societal change, maybe even more conscious. But Gen Z is all about urgency. They want to see real progress, and they're willing to shake things up to get there.
I'm picturing those memes, you know, the slow-moving institution versus the impatient activists. But seriously, how does all this activism from Gen Z change how we think about Christian service? Does it become less about charity and more about systemic change?
That's a really good question. And it's a conversation that church leaders need to be having, especially if they want to connect with this generation in a real way.
Okay, so switching gears a bit. The article also talks about how much Gen Z craves authenticity. They just call out anything that feels fake or too polished. This seems like something that could resonate with everyone, but I bet it creates some unique challenges for the church.
For sure. Think about it. Churches are built on tradition and ritual. There's a certain formality that comes with that.
Right.
But Gen Z wants realness, vulnerability, leaders who are okay with saying, I don't know everything.
I get that. I remember when I was younger, I'd feel so turned off by anything that felt fake or performative. It made me question my own faith, and it was hard to connect with the church.
That's a really important point. Gen Z wants a different kind of leadership, not about seeming perfect, more about being real transparent, even showing your flaws.
So we can't talk about Gen Z without talking about the elephant in the room, or the smartphone in every hand, I guess. They're digital natives. Like, it's in their DNA.
Yeah.
And this article made it clear that Gen Z leadership is all about tech.
It's more than just using technology. It's about technology being woven into how they see the world. It shapes how they approach everything, including faith and leadership.
Like social media, for example. It's not just about posting selfies for them. They're using it to have discussions about their faith, building online communities, reaching people way beyond their local church.
It's amazing to think about how this changes religious outreach. Like, think about how older generations used radio or TV to spread the word. Gen Z is doing the same thing with social media, but it's way more interactive.
I love the possibilities, but does this mean in-person church is dying out? Can online communities ever really replace that feeling of being together in person, of sharing those experiences?
That's a question we'll get into more later, but it's important to remember that for Gen Z, connecting online isn't a replacement for real-life interactions. It's an extension of them. They're blurring the lines between the digital and the physical. in ways we're just starting to figure out.
And we can't forget about how much information Gen Z has access to. Podcasts, webinars, articles online, they can instantly get all these different theological viewpoints, which is amazing, but also maybe overwhelming.
Information overload is definitely a problem. But it also makes us think more critically about what sources we trust, what voices we listen to, and how we figure out what's true when we're bombarded with information. That's something we all need to be good at, not just Gen Z leaders.
Right. So we've talked about how Gen Z leaders bring a lot to the table. Passion for inclusivity and justice, this natural understanding of technology, a real desire for authenticity. But what about the other side? What challenges do they run into as they become leaders?
That's what we'll get into next, because with all these great qualities come a set of unique challenges, things that could make or break their impact on the church. I think one of the biggest things Gen Z leaders have to deal with is the generational friction that happens when you have such different views and ways of doing things.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's not always easy for people who've been doing things one way for years to suddenly embrace something new, especially if it goes against the way things have always been done.
Exactly. It's this tension between tradition and new ideas. Older generations might think that Gen Z wanting change is disrespectful or even a threat, while Gen Z might see the resistance to change as being out of touch or even harmful.
So how do we fix that? How can we make a space where everyone feels heard and respected, where we can learn from each other instead of just arguing?
It takes empathy, open communication, and being willing to compromise. Gen Z has to understand that change can be scary for people who've been doing things a certain way their whole lives. And older generations have to be open to new ideas and realize that Gen Z isn't trying to destroy the church. They just want to make it relevant for their generation.
I like that. Making it relevant. It's not about erasing the past. It's about building on it in a way that honors tradition, but also embraces progress.
And sometimes a little humor can really help ease the tension. I'm sure we've all seen those funny moments, like when an older person tries to figure out a smartphone.
Oh my gosh, yes. My uncle once spent like 10 minutes trying to swipe left on a magazine. He thought it was a touchscreen.
Oh no.
It was so funny. But it also reminded me that we all have things to teach each other.
Those moments where you can laugh together can really help people connect, no matter what generation they're from. Because in the end, we're all part of the same community, working towards the same goals.
The article also mentioned the risk of burnout for Gen Z leaders. They're so passionate and driven, which is great. But I can see how that could lead to overwork, especially when you consider all the things they have to juggle and the pressure of always being connected.
Burnout is a real problem, and it's often made worse by Gen Z feeling like they have to prove they're good enough to be leaders. They know people are judging them, sometimes unfairly, because of how young they are and how much experience they have.
You know, that's interesting. I've definitely felt underestimated before because of my age. Like, people think you can't have any good ideas just because you haven't been around as long.
It happens to a lot of young leaders.
Yeah.
And it can make you feel like you always have to go above and beyond to earn respect.
So how do Gen Z leaders handle that pressure? How do they balance their dedication with taking care of themselves so they don't burn out before they even really get started?
They have to prioritize their well-being, set boundaries, and build relationships with people who support them. They need mentors, people their own age and trusted advisors, people who can give them guidance and encouragement, and just listen to them. And they need to learn to say no sometimes, to delegate tasks, and to take time for themselves to relax and recharge.
That's such good advice. And it's something we can all use, no matter how old we are, what kind of leader we are.
And this brings us to the last thing the article talked about, mentorship. And I love how it emphasized that these relationships go both ways. It's not just about older people teaching younger people. It's about everyone sharing their knowledge, experience, and perspective.
Oh, yeah. When I was in college, I had a mentor who totally changed my life. She saw something in me that I didn't even see. And she pushed me to try new things, to go after my passions. I wouldn't be where I am today without her.
That's a beautiful story. It shows how powerful mentorship can be. A good mentor doesn't just help you in your career. They also help you grow as a person, encourage you in your faith, and help you become the best version of yourself.
And I think those kinds of relationships are especially important for Gen Z leaders, because the world they're navigating is so complicated and changing so quickly. They need those people they can rely on, those voices of experience who can help them stay grounded when everything feels chaotic.
I completely agree. And mentorship doesn't have to come just from the church. It can come from anywhere. Teachers, coaches, family, friends. The important thing is to look for those relationships, to be open to learning from people who have different experiences than you.
So we've talked about the values, the challenges, the inspiring stories, but what does Gen Z leadership actually look like in practice? The article had some really good examples that helped me understand.
I agree. Concrete examples are so helpful. It's one thing to talk about how much Gen Z cares about social justice, but it's another thing to see it in action, to see the things they're doing to make a difference.
Like one example that stood out to me was this youth group in California that started a mental health awareness campaign at their church. They saw a need in their community and they did something about it.
And what's really impressive is they didn't just raise awareness. They made a space where people could talk openly. They used social media to reach more people. And they worked with mental health professionals to offer resources and support. It was a really well thought out plan, and it made a real impact.
It shows how much they understand the connection between faith and well-being, and how willing they are to address tough issues that have often been ignored by the church.
Another great example is this 21-year-old pastor in Chicago who started a Faith in Action program. What I found amazing was he was able to combine traditional ministry with social activism.
Yeah. He seems like the perfect example of what we've been talking about, this new kind of Gen Z leadership, embracing technology, fighting for social justice, and creating a space where faith and action go hand in hand.
Exactly. He's not afraid to challenge the way things have always been done, to push the boundaries of what people think ministry should be, and to really engage with the world.
And then there was the story of those young adults who started a racial reconciliation ministry in a mostly white church. That one really showed the courage and conviction of Gen Z leaders.
To go into a place where they might not be totally welcome, to talk about uncomfortable truths, to fight for change that some people might resist, that takes a lot of dedication and strength.
It really does. It shows how much they believe in the power of dialogue, their willingness to challenge things that are wrong, and their commitment to building a more inclusive and just church.
These examples, and so many others like them, show us that this generation isn't just going to accept the church the way it is. They're going to shape it into something that reflects their values and their hopes for the future.
So where do we go from here? We've talked about so much, the values, the challenges, the inspiring examples. What's the big takeaway for our listeners, for the people who are curious about what Gen Z's impact on the church will be?
Well, I think the big takeaway is this. We're seeing a huge shift in Christian leadership. Gen Z is bringing new ideas, new skills, and a strong commitment to making the church a force for good in the world.
Yeah, it's definitely a really interesting time to be a part of this conversation. But I'm also wondering, is it dangerous to focus too much on the differences between generations? Are we creating this us versus them thing that could actually hurt the church in the long run?
That's a good point. We have to remember that these labels we give to generations, they're just labels. They help us understand general trends. But they don't tell the whole story of every person's individual experience.
So maybe instead of focusing on what makes us different, we should be looking for what we have in common, for ways to bridge the gap between generations and work together.
Exactly. The future of the church depends on our ability to have conversations between generations, to work together, and to have mentorships that go both ways. We need the wisdom and experience of older generations. Just like we need the energy and new ideas of younger generations.
I love that. It's not about one generation being better than the other. It's about realizing that we all have something unique to offer, and that by working together, we can do amazing things.
I totally agree. This deep dive into Gen Z leadership has really given me hope for the future of the church.
Me too. Their passion, their courage, their willingness to challenge the way things are, it's truly inspiring. But it's also a call to action for all of us, no matter what generation we're from.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if Gen Z wants a church that's more inclusive and just and authentic, then we all need to support that vision. We need to be open to new ideas, willing to question our own beliefs, and committed to working together to create a church that reflects the love and compassion of Christ.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I think that's the perfect way to end our discussion.
Before we go, though, I have one last thought for our listeners. This article was about how Gen Z is changing Christian leadership, which is incredibly important. But it also got me thinking about something else. How is Gen Z's presence as members of the congregation changing the church? How are their expectations and preferences influencing things like worship styles, community engagement, and just the overall experience of being part of a faith community? That's something I hope we all keep thinking about.
You're so right. It reminds us that this is an ongoing process, and we all have a part to play in shaping the future of the church.
Thanks for diving deep with us today.
I think the takeaway is this: we're seeing a huge change in how we think about Christian leadership. Gen Z is bringing a fresh perspective and new skills, and they're really committed to making the church a force for good in the world.
Yeah, it's definitely an exciting time to be part of this conversation. But I'm also wondering, is there a danger of focusing too much on these generational differences? Are we creating this Gen Z versus everyone else thing that could actually end up hurting the church?
That's a really good point. Yeah. It's important to remember that these generational labels are just that, labels. They help us understand general trends, but they don't capture all the little differences between individual people and what they believe.
So maybe instead of getting hung up on what makes us different, we should be looking for common ground, like finding ways to connect the different generations and work together.
Exactly. The future of the church depends on our ability to talk to each other across generations, to collaborate, and to have mentorships that benefit everyone. We need the wisdom and experience of older people just as much as we need the energy and new ideas of younger people.
That's such a good point. It's not about one generation winning. It's about realizing that we all have something special to offer, and that when we work together, we can create something amazing.
I couldn't agree more. This deep dive into Gen Z leadership has honestly given me so much hope for the future of the church.
Me too. Their passion, their courage, their willingness to challenge the way things are done, it's really inspiring. But it's also a challenge to all of us, no matter what generation we belong to.
What do you mean by that?
Well, if Gen Z is pushing for a church that's more inclusive and just and authentic, then it's up to all of us to support that vision. You know, we need to be open to new ideas, willing to question our own beliefs, and committed to working together to create a church that truly reflects the love and compassion of Christ.
That's beautifully said, and I think it's the perfect way to wrap up our conversation.
Before we go, though, I have one final thought for our listeners. This article was all about how Gen Z is impacting Christian leadership, which is super important. But it also made me think about the other side of the coin. How is Gen Z's presence in the pews as members of the congregation changing the church? How are their expectations and preferences shaping things like worship styles, community engagement, and the overall experience of being part of a faith community? That's something I think we all need to keep thinking about.
You're absolutely right. It reminds us that this is an ongoing journey, and we all have a role to play in shaping the future of the church.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into Gen Z and the future of the church. We hope you found this conversation insightful and inspiring. We'll be back soon with another deep dive exploring a different facet of faith and culture. Until then, keep those questions coming and keep the conversation going.